Good morning, FBC and guests. Everybody who's here, we're so glad you're here. And just want to say welcome to you. Let me open us with a word of prayer as we get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, our psalm today says, the Lord is near to those who call on Him, to those who call on Him in truth. And so today, in the songs that we sing, in the prayers that we bring, in the word that we preach, we're calling on you, Father. You're a good God. You're gracious and slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. And so we trust you, Father. And so we look to you today for all of our provision in this day and in all the days to come. We exalt you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. And I am delighted to be with you all this morning. I was praying with the team beforehand. It's such a great blessing that we live in 2020 and have resources to be able to connect together. It's just amazing. And so we're grateful. And we had great opportunities in the minutes leading up to this service to be ready, and I think there's a chance that there's someone out there, our enemy, who doesn't want us to be broadcasting this today. And so we're grateful to God, who is greater all the time over our enemies, over our circumstances, and so we rejoice in that. This last Tuesday, my daughter Abby, who has her own, any of you who have college students or students in general know that their worlds have been turned a bit upside down. And she sent me this picture on Tuesday. It's the one on the left. This is from her backyard in Norman. And below the picture on the text, it said, "Squirrels don't care about coronavirus." And interestingly, I texted her back and said, "Well, would you know that this morning I took a picture right outside my office window, which is there on the right, and I was thinking the exact same thing. Squirrels don't care about coronavirus." I don't want to make light of it. I'm not a one who buries my head in the sand. But it reminded me of a passage in Scripture before we get into Psalm 145 that I wanted to share with you this morning. And we find it in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6. And Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 6, and he says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first His, the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, but for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And I couldn't help it when I looked at those squirrels out my window and in Abby's picture from Norman. I guess geography doesn't matter, whether it's in the OKC metro area or here. They don't care about the coronavirus. And it sent me to the Word of God and a reminder that if He cares for the birds of the air, if He cares for the flowers of the field, if He cares for the squirrels on the tree, He cares for us. He knows our needs. And again, like I said, I'm a person who likes to speak with realistic thoughts. And so I'm not immune to the worry of this situation that we're in. It's an uncertain time. As I said to friends recently, you know, I grew up, I'm 54 years old, I grew up hearing about this thing called the Great Depression. But I never lived in the Great Depression. But what I know about it decades later is that it gripped the entire country. And everybody was in it together. Well, there's a new term that I haven't ever heard in my years. And it's called global pandemic. So it's gripping not just our country, but the world. And we're all in it together. And so I just wanted to remind you of some things that I want to encourage you with again before we get into our passage. First of all, the scriptures remind us that the world is groaning. That's the word it uses. And from the Garden of Eden until now, the world has been groaning. And it causes those of us who trust in the Lord to look to the day when He will make all things new. It reminded me of the song that we've sung here at church several times by Andrew Peterson. It's just a gorgeous song, and it poses questions and then gives answers in refrain. And I just want to read a couple of stanzas to you and tell me if you don't relate to what Peterson says in this song called "Is He Worthy?" Speaking of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is He worthy of this? Even I would say this time in this place. He is. He is. And so I shared a video earlier in the week and just challenged myself mostly, and you sort of heard my thoughts out loud as I challenged you. And I said a couple of things. I want to remind you of them today. They're as true or more today than they were even a few days ago. First, during these times, press into the Lord. He is our all. Press into Him. Next, press into others. I appreciate so much what Brad and Sadie said. Social distancing does not mean social isolation. Press into the ones you love. Yes, we may be doing it in different ways during this season of time, but press in to others. And finally, the church is not bounded by walls. It never was. And it takes things like this to remind us of that. And I, for one, am excited about the opportunities we're going to get to learn what it means to do ministry with unbounded walls. And so as we come together, whether virtually or in little small clusters, remember the church isn't contained by 5434 East 91st Street. And we can continue, and I charge us to continue as people. Whether you're a part of this church family, or you've checked us out a little before, or you've never checked us out before until today, we have a phrase around here. We are a church family that is engaging the Bible, pursuing Christ-centered relationships, and sharing the good news of Jesus. And so continue to engage the Word of God daily. Continue to pursue Christ-centered relationships. He's at the center of every relationship that you have. And then finally, share the good news of Jesus and get creative with that. It may be in written words you post. It may be in a phone call. It may be across the living room with the few that you are connected to in person. It may be a neighbor across the street or around the corner or a schoolmate. But continue to share the love and the good news of Jesus. As was mentioned, we're going to continue to stay in touch with you in the days to come, probably in some sense on a daily basis. You may hear from us one way or the other. And continue to access our website, COVID-19 Update, for the latest kind of comprehensive list of how to connect, and then also through our various social media platforms. And I just want to encourage you to continue to connecting with your small groups. Many of you are connected to small groups, and you probably are feeling the reality that they are more precious to you than ever right now. And if so, just continue to press in to the people in your small groups. While it may not be in person, there's incredible technology tools that can allow you to connect and continue on with what God is doing in and through your lives, the church, as we're scattered here. And we're all in this together. This morning, I received a call from Bud Peterson, one of our mission workers. We've prayed for his daughter, Christine Van Team, for many weeks in the past, and her pulmonary issues with cystic fibrosis. And we continue to pray for her today. He urged us and pleaded with us to continue praying for his dear daughter and her family. They've been mission workers overseas and have come back to get her treatment. And she came down with the influenza B, and she was needing to get treatment in a facility, and one of the docs in the facility contracted the coronavirus, and she's been sent home with her family. And so it's important that they are able to navigate well in one household up there in Wisconsin with all of those bodies together. So we need to keep lifting them up. He also told me about teammates that we have over in Central Asian countries who are soldiering forward with the same kinds of things we're doing, engaging the Bible, pursuing Christ-centered relationships, and sharing the good news of Jesus. And he urged us to continue to lift up our brothers and sisters in Central Asian countries. And I'm just speaking of one of our mission partners. We've got partners and works going on all around the world and all around this country. So remember to keep all of them in your prayers. And the reason I bring that up, in addition to those prayer requests, is to let us remember that we are all in this together. Isn't that amazing? We are all in this together. So in these times, extend grace to one another. Extend loads of grace to each other. And keep calling on the Lord. Keep calling on the Lord. He is trustworthy. He is able. Keep calling on Him. Well, this morning, as I mentioned, God is greater all the time, and we've sung so well from Psalm 145 this morning, and I just want to lead us through the reading of His Word and then make some comments on Psalm 145. Here we go, Psalm 145, beginning in verse 1. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles there, pull up your devices, follow along in Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. As we get into this psalm, let me lead us one more time in prayer and ask the Lord to just open our hearts by his Spirit and guide us in truth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we exalt you, O Lord. We extol you, as the passage says. We praise you. I pray today that we will praise you for who you are and what you do. And that's a phrase we throw around a bunch in Christian speak. But this psalm speaks directly to those two things. These are the two matters at hand. Who is this God of ours? And what does he do? And all of who you are and what you do resounds in praise and glory to you, and it inspires and motivates our worship. And so I pray this morning as I preach this passage that in the hearts of the people who are connecting today, that you will rise up in their hearts, you will build up in their hearts an overwhelming sense of joy and worship of you, because you are a good God. And you do good all the time. And so, Father, we commit our time to you. We thank you for this time to be together. Again, thank you for the opportunity we have to connect that less than a generation ago we would not have had. And so we're grateful to you for these tools and resources. And we pray that we would use all of them to the glory and praise of Jesus Christ, the head of this church, in whose name we pray. Amen. Psalm 145 is at the end of Israel's hymn book. Psalm 145 is the last of a six-psalm sprint to the end. If you recall, these are real songs sung by real people centuries ago, and praise God, we've still got them to sing, so to speak, today. And did you know that Psalm 145 has a couple of incredible features? First of all, it's one of the several psalms in the scriptures where each line starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And I'll tell you this morning, you'll get a glimpse of this. The Hebrew language is rich with great meaning and great depth. And so these songs were sung to memory. It's like saying in the ABCs, adore, bless, confess, devote. Each letter reminds us of a matter of praise and of worship to the Lord. It's also the only psalm of all the Psalter, 150 songs, that says a song of praise. It's simple and straightforward. It's the last song that we have of King David, the greatest of all the psalmists. And it's the one song where it says, this is my song of praise. So when you put all that together, it's kind of his exclamation point at the end of the songbook, shouting out to the people, this is what it's all about. Praise God. Praise God. And so today we're going to spend a little bit of time meditating on and just being filled up with and rejoicing in who God is and what he does. Take a look at the first few verses of the psalm here. I told you I would give you a little glimpse or a taste of the richness of the language that's used. I will extol you. That word extol means to lift high. And so we first and foremost put God in his proper place. He is above all. He's not disconnected from all. He's involved in all. But he's above all. He's above me. He's above my circumstances. He is great. He is mighty. I extol you. And look at there, my God. Isn't that amazing? He can be so lofty and so powerful, and yet he's so personal. David, in his intimate way, says, my God, I extol you, my God and King, and bless your name. That word bless says, basically, I'll kneel or I'll salute. That's the nature of that word. And so if God's exalted, then my really only response is to kneel before him and to salute him, to give him honor and bless his name forever and ever. And it starts with eternity. For all time I will bless you. And then he says in verse 2, every day I will bless you. That's a foreshadowing of one of my challenge points and next steps for us today, is that every day I want to challenge us to make intentional time to worship God. So David sets the pace for us. Every day I will bless you. And here's a new word, praise your name. It has the idea of shining or boasting. So you, O God, are the mighty one. I bow before you. I bless you. I praise you. I shine the light upon your greatness. I boast in your greatness. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You know, any time a verse uses the word or the form of the word three times, you figure it's important. Great is that word here. And the word great has various meanings that all go into the richness of its fabric and texture. It means large, intense, loud, important, distinguished. God is great in every sense of the word, in multifaceted ways. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. This Thursday, I had the privilege of calling some folk from our church community. And I trained my efforts on calling generally widows who are in the 80s to 90s age bracket. You know, I thought I was calling to bless them, and I got the big blessing that afternoon. And it was interesting, as I was talking to some of our dear sisters, how they reminded me of what they've seen in life, which is a generation more than me. And so they were doing what King David is imploring us to do. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And person after person, they encouraged me, reminding me of how good God is and how faithful he's been. It inspired me to pass that along to the next generation. And that's the exact mandate we're given here, is will we waste this moment, or will we declare the greatness of God and the trustworthiness of God to the generations to come? And his greatness is manifested in his works. Look at what it says in verses 5 and following. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works I will meditate, etc. They declare the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. What God does, his works declare who he is. They're tied together. So this psalm is all about who is God and what does he do. And his works declare his fame, his greatness, his character. And the response for all of us is that it resounds in worship of him. And then we move into the second section of the psalm here, who God is, his attributes. So that first seven verses was sort of like the foreword that gives us the structure of who God is. And now we move into the greatness of God and his attributes. He's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He's good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Truly, God is a long-suffering God. He is a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He keeps his love, and it abounds. He's good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. And yet, he's got more to his person than just these characteristics. He's the king. He's the sovereign one. All his works give thanks to him, and the saints bless him. They shall speak of the glory of his kingdom and tell of his power. And so these verses 8 through 13, remind us of the greatness of God, who he is. And as we worship together during this season, let's first and foremost worship him because of his person. He is a good God. And so I ran this circumstance and these times through these words in this passage. Can we trust him that all of his works are good? Can we trust him that his kingdom is intact? Can we trust him that his mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of his kingdom resound in worship to him? Can we trust him? And my overwhelming response to you today is trust him. Trust him. As John said this morning, what he does, all that God does, is for his good, his glory, excuse me, and our good. All of it. And so as we go through these times, it's good for us daily to remember who he is. If you were an observant Jewish person back in the time of the Psalms being written, and even still today in some minority parts of the Jewish faith, you recited this particular Psalm, Psalm 145, three times a day. Twice in the morning, once at night. Maybe not a bad practice for all of us during this time. To remember who is God and what does he do. Then we move into the last little stanza of the psalm. And I love all of these things that God does in love for those who follow him, who trust him. Look at the rapid fire number of things that he does here. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all he does, in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Listen to all of the things God is about. What does he do? And again, remember, what he does reinforces and amplifies who he is. He upholds the falling down. Are you falling down today? He upholds you. He raises up the bowed down. Are you bowed down today? He raises you up. He provides to those who look to him. Are you in need today? He provides to those who look to him. Are you calling on his name? If so, he is near to you. If you are near, if you call on his name, he is near to you. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him, revere him, worship him. He also hears your cry and saves you. And finally, do you love the Lord? If so, he preserves you. He preserves you. Listen to that amazing list of acts that God does. He upholds, he raises, he provides, he's near, he fulfills, he preserves. And finally, he destroys the wicked. All the wicked he will destroy. I just want to emphasize today, if you are bowed down, if you're falling down, if you're wondering about provision, and folks, whenever social distancing stops, our moment won't be done. Again, let's talk in realistic terms. This is having an unprecedented impact on our lives and our world, and we'll probably have for some time to come. Psalm 145 is an anchor for all of us. For us to remember that God upholds us when we fall down. He raises us up when we bow down. He provides for us when we look to him. He is near to us when we call on him. He fulfills our desires, those of us who fear him, and he answers our cry and saves us. And he preserves us who love him. And all along, he keeps destroying the wicked. He will destroy the wicked. I just want to encourage all of us today. COVID-19 distancing parameters intact. COVID-19 distancing parameters eliminated. Call on the name of the Lord. Verse 17 is tucked in all of those actions that God does as just one more reminder of his character. Look what it says in verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. A verse that I'm very fond of, quoting, and I've quoted it many times here at FBC, is Romans 11:36, speaking of the Lord, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." So can we take him at his word? Is our moment today, March 22nd, 2020, from him, through him, to him? I believe that it is. I believe he's not surprised by what has come upon this world. And I believe, for one, as I said in my message to you earlier this week, that he's getting my attention. He is arresting my focus. And he's tapping me on the shoulder and he's saying, "It's time to recalibrate. It's time to refocus. Do you trust me? Do you believe that I'm a good God who is righteous in all my ways and kind in all my works?" Perhaps if you're struggling to trust God for the first time, to believe that he exists, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came and died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sin and my sin and was buried and rose again, conquering death, providing a way of eternal life for all. If you're struggling with that, I would first today urge you to turn to God and trust Jesus as your only Savior. He is our only hope in this life and the life to come. We will be worshiping him forever and in his presence forever. And so I urge you to turn to Jesus today. We've got these connection cards that Sadie talked about. Let us know that you're interested in that relationship with Jesus Christ, and we would be delighted to connect with you today to enter into the most glorious moment of your life. And maybe you are following Jesus already. You've trusted in him alone as your only hope for salvation, but you're bowing down, or you're falling down in these tough times. Turn to the Lord today. Trust him. He is a good God. He's kind in all his works. He's righteous in all his ways. And the psalm ends with David's reminder once again of what his action will be and what he calls everyone to do. He says, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord." So he has a personal commitment. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. And then he calls on all the people, "Let all flesh," really everything that has life, "bless his holy name forever and ever." So yes, indeed, God is greater all the time. All the time. I urge you to keep this psalm close at hand during these days. Turn to it often. Use it as your prayer script. Rejoice in God's provision, in God's kindness, in God's righteousness, in all of his ways. He is dependable. He is trustworthy because of who he is and what he does. Let me challenge us as we close with just a few next steps. First of all, and I've mentioned it already, I will make intentional time daily to worship God. I don't know about you, but my schedule has been adjusted a little bit. Yours probably has too. In some ways, we could use that as our crutch to say, "I can't make that time." But my guess is that you may have found time that you hadn't known existed before this season. And I want to encourage you to use this opportunity to make the new habit of making intentional time daily to worship God. He hears you. You can do it in whatever way is between you and the Lord. Perhaps it's opening your Bible. Perhaps it's in a season of prayer. Perhaps it's singing songs. All of the above are glorious ways to worship God. But I urge you to make intentional time. My household has talked about the sense of kind of our moorings have been knocked out from under us. Our routines are changed. Set the routines and be in charge of those routines. Be proactive about them and make the time daily to worship God. Secondly, I will stay connected with others to encourage and support them. It's not just the pastor's privilege to call friends and dear ones. It's everybody's privilege to do that. So give a ring to the people that you are connected to. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care about them. Find out what you can do for them, even with these parameters in place. But just like we are going to make a commitment to make intentional time daily to worship God, also make an intentional commitment daily to connect to others. Social distancing does not mean social isolation. And so take the time to connect with others. And this psalm gives us a great template of ways to connect. Blessing others by telling of God's greatness, His works, passing it along to the next generation. Folks with kids at home that you didn't think were going to be home, you have a golden opportunity to pass along to that next generation God's great ways and God's great works in this season. Be intentional about it. Stay connected. Encourage and support. And finally, I will call on God as my provider and sustainer. We need that more than ever right now. These are unprecedented times. Call on Him this day. Call on Him the next day. Call on Him 30 days from now, 100 days from now. He is our provider. He is our sustainer. We will not be done with this event when the restrictions abate. However, God is on watch. He is in charge. He is trustworthy. He is almighty. He is the provider. Call on Him and call on us as your church family. We are God's hands and feet, mobilized to do His work this side of heaven. And so if you need assistance with provision and sustenance as well, it would be our delight to just pitch in. I dream of those days when the Acts 2 early church, the very first church, said they shared all things in common. Wouldn't that be wonderful to just share the things in common with one another? Because all of it's the Lord's. He's given it to us all, and He has provided it. And so, dear loved ones, I just want to commend the Word of God to you. It's an anchor for us in these times. I want to commend the person of God Himself to you. He is the ultimate one. He is the one to be extolled, and we bless Him. We bow down. We worship Him. And so continue staying connected to Him. Continue staying connected to one another. Continue calling on His name. I love you all, and I am so grateful to be with you this morning and look forward to the season when we'll be able to be with each other in person again. God bless you.